The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
First this morning, new reports show that Irish families have been hit with massive additional costs for the second time this year. And there are concerns now that people will have to dip into their savings to meet the rising price of energy, of food and of insurance. Let's get the latest on this. I'm joined by Head of Communications for Bonkers.ie, Dara Cassidy. Good morning, Dara.
Good morning, Claire.
So I mentioned insurance, food and energy, but really driving all of those price rises is the cost of fuel, isn't it?
It is, because we use fuel in the production of so many goods and services. When fuel goes up, we see our food go up, obviously cost of driving goes up, and pretty much everything goes up. And this is the big fear about this is that this is round two, Claire, in a very, very short period of time. So no one probably needs reminding that after the war in Ukraine, we saw a big, big bout of inflation. And in the summer of 2022, inflation reached over 9% in Ireland, the highest it had been in many, many years, several decades, in fact. And in the space of maybe 3 or 4 years after the war, prices went up in total by about 25%. But some things such as, energy and health insurance and food went up even more. And now, unfortunately, it looks as if we're back for round two. And even if inflation doesn't reach the heights of 8 or 9%, it's currently at 3.6%, any price increases are coming off a much, much higher base. So even if we, only in relative terms, see inflation hit maybe, 3 or 4% over the coming months, it's going to hit people, I think, much harder than what you might expect. Because as I said, it's coming off a much higher base. For example, food is up 30% compared to where it was a few years ago. Gas prices are almost double where they were a few years ago, and health insurance has skyrocketed as well.
So what you're saying is look at the costs across the board, which is the advice that you would always give to people. Make sure you're not paying too much, and if you are paying too much, switch. But you're also saying that you should look now at cancelling some of your subscriptions.
Well, there's a few things that people can do. I mean, I say in a situation like this, there's probably four main things. You can look at cutting back. And of course, cutting back on subscriptions is one thing that people can do. But really, no one wants to start cutting back, on the health insurance or the energy. But that is one thing you can do. Cut back. Use your savings if you have some. We do know that there is record numbers of households with some savings on deposits. But having said that, there is a significant proportion of households who have no savings. You can hope you get a very generous wage increase from your employer, or you can switch and look at switching all of those bills. It's maybe put things into perspective, Claire, because I think sometimes people don't realise the savings that can be made or the type of savings. But if you were to switch your broadband and TV today, you could save maybe 600 or 700 euro. And if you were to switch your energy, your gas and electricity, Claire, you could save maybe 400 to 500 euro. To put that 700 euro saving just for broadband and TV into perspective, this is just one bill. That's like getting a 60 cent cut an excise on petrol and diesel, or looking at it another way, it's like getting maybe 4 or 5 months of driving for free. And I think when you put it that way, it really, really hammers home the big savings that are available. Because if the government came out tomorrow and said that they were cutting another 60 cents of petrol and diesel, we'd all absolutely be delighted. But yet the power is in people's hands to actually, in many ways, get that cut themselves by looking at those bills and switching. Because when you switch, you don't have to cut back. You can maintain your standards of living. You don't have to cut back on the energy. You don't have to cut back on the health insurance. You can just switch instead and keep those, keep those utility bills, keep those products and services, but put money back in your pockets.
Dara, stay with us because I'm joined as well by Professor in Energy Economics at UCD, Lisa Ryan. Good morning to you, Lisa.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm good, but we're all going to have to get ready now for what's coming down the track, because not only do we see our prices increasing now, but the worst could be to come, unfortunately, because there'll be a trickle-down impact of what's happening in Iran. We haven't really seen all of that hit our bills yet, have we?
Well, it's obviously there's a huge amount of uncertainty, Claire. But I mean, the analysts are saying that, if the Strait of Hormuz, for example, stays closed and continues to be a blockage there, that, at the moment, governments have released additional reserves to make sure that there is still oil flowing globally. But, there is some signs that it could be, that the markets aren't quite reflecting that long-term uncertainty yet. So, you know, the price, the price of crude oil trading in the markets is around $100 a barrel. It's actually dipped below it over the last few days. But, you know, there are signs that it could go higher. Now, I don't want to scaremonger, so we don't really know. Mm-hmm. But we should be prepared, I think, for these prices at least to stay as high as they are. And maybe go higher, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, Charlie Weston is reporting in the Irish Independent today that the average household now will need to spend close to 2,000 additionally a year just to stay on top of the bills.
Yeah, I mean, that 2,000 euros a year, you know, is an average. So it reflects a huge variation between households. Some households will, you know, spend less than that. And it really depends, you know, what kind of energy you use. So what type of heating system you have. So houses, of course, that are using heating oil are disproportionately affected because heating oil is the commodity that is trading most high. So kerosene is higher than crude oil. And it's, you know, nearly doubled over the last month or so. So if you have, if you're fueling your house, your heating with heating oil next winter, then your fuel costs are going to be higher compared to somebody maybe that's using electricity where the price hasn't really trickled through yet, mm-hmm. or natural gas. And the other, unfortunately, is that often homes with heating oil, they're also less efficient. So they have a higher energy demand overall because they're usually detached houses or even semi-detached houses. But they're ones that haven't been renovated. And that's why they're still using heating oil. So I think that, you know, across that, there's a huge variation. Similarly with transport fuel, some people are much more reliant on a car and have to drive because of where they live compared to other house people who are in urban areas who will have the option to switch to public transport. So yeah, there's a huge variation. I think we need to look at the houses that are faced, the households that are faced with these very high energy costs. If they're going to remain longer term like that, we need to make sure that try and target those and mm-hmm. try and switch them away from those very high fuel, high expense commodities like heating oil.
But energy in your area, energy economics, it's so plugged in, pardon the pun, to absolutely everything. I mean, if you have to find this additional 2,000 euro, you're going to cut back on the renovation project in your house, maybe your summer holiday. You know, that money isn't going to appear out of thin air. It has to be found somewhere. So these price increases have the potential to impact the wider economy, don't they?
They do. And I mean, I suppose one thing to say is we're not, you know, people haven't faced those 2,000 euros yet. You know what I mean? They haven't come out of our pockets yet. So it's more we're looking forward and this is what the cost might be in the future. So, you know, you could take action now and, you know, take a loan to take to invest in something so that you are prepared for the winter, like put insulation on the house, for example, costs a lot less than, say, switching your whole heating system. Everyone should have their attic insulated as a minimum, you know, and that costs a few hundred euros and that would already save your energy costs. So, you know, we need to take preventative action before we pay out those 2,000 euros because, you know, energy is something that you can take some action on. There are also the new the SEI has doubled the grant for heating systems. Now you still have to pay for heat pumps. You still have to pay up front. So you mm-hmm. need to take out a loan. You know, as you say, people often don't have it lying around. Although Dara did refer to, we, you know, it was in the media a lot last week on the high level of deposit accounts we have in Ireland. So again, there's a huge variation in terms of people's financial situation. If people do have savings, that they would be well worth investing in their homes where the grants are higher than they've ever been. For heat pumps, for example, for solar PV, now they're not going to do you much good in winter, really. But if you have solar PV in a battery, for example, you will be able to change. Or if you're switching out your car, Dundeal were saying that a three-year-old EV is now cheaper than a three-year-old diesel on the second-hand car market. So there are some things that, you know, if people are making changes anyway, they can invest in. And even if they weren't, make sure that their house is well insulated so that they're going to have a lower energy demand. And even things like driving slower. If you drive above 100 kilometres an hour, your car uses 20% more fuel than if you stay at 80 kilometres per hour. So there are some things, as Dara was reflecting there on the broadband things, that we can make. But we have to be aware mm-hmm. that these are higher costs coming our way and try and take our own, you know, situation into our own hands, I suppose.
Yeah, I just have a listener here saying, Dara, that the grid needs updating. You can't have multiple households all trying to charge cars, cook dinners, heat homes, use showers, drawing on old electricity supply transformers. But a huge chunk of our bill goes into investment in the grid, doesn't it? And if we're looking for price reductions, that's where we would be looking for the reduction to come from if we're looking for the government to take action on this. But clearly we need that investment in the grid, don't we?
No, we do. But actually, as you've kind of alluded to, the grid fees now make up around maybe 40 to 50% of the actual bill. So if you got an electricity bill for 100 euro, Claire, only around maybe 30 or 35 euro goes for the cost of generating the energy. And maybe another 40 to 50 euro actually goes on these grid fees. And the grid does need a huge amount of investment over the coming years to cope with the, I suppose, the rapidly growing population. Data centres, there's also been years of underinvestment. And the problem in Ireland is that a lot of that investment gets passed on directly to the consumer in the form of higher bills. And I know you're going to be discussing why our electricity prices, which are the highest now in the EU, you'll be discussing later why they are so high. And that is partly one of the reason, you know, we've really, really high grid fees. And I would always say to people that in the short to medium term, you know, we do need to bring more renewables onto the system. The planet needs saving. There is a climate crisis, but we need to be just really, really upfront and honest with people about the short term costs of doing that. And the difficulties of doing that and the potential savings, because green energy and renewable energy is much better for the environment and there's wider economic benefits. But if you're just looking at the benefits on the bill, I really don't see our electricity prices falling a huge amount, maybe a little bit. I don't see our electricity prices falling a huge amount over the coming maybe 5 to 10 years, no matter how much renewable energy is on the system, unfortunately.
But I suppose the question that bill payers will have is, if we're paying so much towards the grid maintenance and expansion and improvement, are we getting value for money? You know, is that investment happening?
I think the investment is happening. We did see, I think, some of the Apple money go into the grids. ESB and Airgrid did get a big chunk of money. And a lot of this is future investment. So our electricity prices will potentially and hopefully look much more competitive in around maybe 10 to 20 years. So our, you know, the people who are younger now might benefit from us, but I get that in the here and now, people want to see immediate investments and immediate reductions, and they're just not going to see that. As I kind of did say, though, Claire, we did have a big lack of investment, I think, in the grid in the 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s. And now we're kind of paying for that, unfortunately. There's just a lot going on at the same time. And the transition towards net zero is always going to be very, very tough. It was going to be challenging. I think we're seeing that now. But I would say, if anything, electricity prices are probably going to go up in the short term. We did see Prepaid Power hike its prices there last week. We'll probably see Electric Ireland hike its electricity prices over the coming weeks. And we could see gas prices go up as well in the second half of the year. So there's no reprieve in terms of energy prices in the short to medium term.
Okay. And is there a fear that the markets have underpriced oil right now as well, Dara?
I think a little bit, as Lisa was saying, there is a big fear that maybe what's happening in Iran has been underpriced. We have seen gas prices, though, in fairness, are up about 40 to 50% above where they were before the Iran war broke out. Oil doesn't really affect our electricity prices anymore because we don't use it to generate our electricity. Gas does, though. Gas has a big impact on our electricity prices, and that on wholesale markets is up about 40 to 50% above where it was a few weeks ago, and it's about three times the level it was at before the war in Ukraine broke out. So that's probably why we will see gas bills go up in the second half of the year, and potentially we could see electricity prices go up as well, as we said. But it's kind of funny, you know, on the one hand we have talk about have the markets priced things correctly, and then other people are talking about shortages, you know. So that could actually be the big problem in the second half of the year. We're now talking about the price of energy. There could actually be a shortage of energy in a few months' time if the conflict lingers on.
Okay, that's a whole other conversation to have. Dara, thanks so much. Dara Cassidy from bonkers.ie and Professor Lisa Ryan there from UCC.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.